Well, what is up, Northridge Church? It's so good to be together as the family of God. Welcome to Northridge Church. Welcome home and welcome to the family. You know, we all love stories of redemption. There's just something that speaks to our souls that when we see redemption take place. And when you think about that word redemption, hopefully as Christ followers, the first person that comes to mind is Jesus and the ultimate redemption that he provides for us. But as weird as I am, when I think about something being redeemed, I don't know why, but I come to a movie. You're probably not going to guess what the movie is. It's Dumb and Dumber. Come on, let's be honest. How many of you have seen the movie Dumb and Dumber? Come on, put your hands up in the air. Webster, Brighton, I know there's a bunch of young adults who have seen the movie Dumb and Dumber. And there is actual redemption in that story. You see, it goes a little bit like this. Harry and Lloyd are on this journey to Aspen, this road trip, because Lloyd is in love with this woman who left her briefcase. And so they're on this journey, and Lloyd, as he's driving through the middle of the night in this sheepdog mobile, takes a wrong turn and goes the complete wrong direction until they run out of gas. Harry wakes up and he's furious, rightfully so. He's like, what are you doing? And he just storms off. He walks off. And it's kind of a hopeless situation. But right there is where redemption happens. Rather than tell you, I figured I'd show you.
Got room for one more if you still want to go to Aspen.
Where did you find that?
Some kid back in town. Traded the van for it, straight up. I can get 70 miles to the gallon on this hog.
You know, Lloyd, just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this. And totally redeem yourself!
Still want to go to Aspen?
Oh, yeah! Okay, let's go, buddy!
Go west! Go west, boy!
Totally redeem yourself. And yes, I did just sneak Dumb and Dumber into the intro of my sermon. But we all love redemption. And I would guess our picture of redemption looks a little different than that. But the truth is redemption is sweet. Because that word redeeming actually means the act of saving or rescuing. And if you've ever been in a circumstance or a situation where you needed redemption, there's nothing sweeter to your life than it actually taking place. Because redemption breathes hope to the hopeless. It brings life to the lifeless. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to study a story of redemption. If you have your Bibles, we're going to find it in the book of Ruth. We're going to be in Ruth chapter 1 this morning for the next 4 weeks. We're just going to study this story, the four chapters in this book, and we're going to see redemption unfold in two places. We're going to see redemption in the story of Naomi and Ruth, but ultimately we're going to see a picture of Christ's redemption being foreshadowed for you and I. And so as we approach the book of Ruth, let me just kind of set the background for you. You see, the book of Ruth is in the Old Testament, and it's found in the period of Judges. You see, in the book, in Judges, you will find it say over and over again that the Israelites or the people did that which was right in their own eyes. And so this is not a good period for the nation of Israel. They are choosing to go their own path rather than God's path. And so what God would do is he would bring judges into the scene to bring them back, to draw the people of Israel back to God. And so Ruth is found in this time period, and the book of Ruth starts off with Israel facing a severe famine. It's so bad that the Israelites are forced to immigrate to Moab. The problem is Moab, the Moabites, are not really real good friends with Israel. Because in the history of the Old Testament, the Moabites weren't allowed to worship in the tabernacle because they didn't allow the Israelites who were freed from Egypt to travel through Moab. And so to give you just a picture on a map of what this journey would look like, you see, right up here, they would migrate or immigrate from Jerusalem or Bethlehem up over the Dead Sea and all the way down to Moab. And that's where the book of Ruth picks up its story of redemption. And when you think about redemption, redemption usually starts in a pretty bleak place. And so does the book of Ruth. Look what it says in verse 3 of chapter 1. It says, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. So this story starts at a pretty bleak and painful place. Naomi, who is Ruth's mother-in-law, her story begins with losing her husband. She becomes a widow. And you can imagine the grief of losing, the sorrow of losing your husband was enough. But as time went on, she began to heal. She had two sons who were there to provide for her, look after their mother. And those two sons in Moab married Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And for 10 years, she slowly got over the grief, the sorrow of losing her husband, until 10 years pass, and then she loses both of her sons. Now, before we just zoom past the beginning of this story, I want us to sit here a little bit. Can you imagine this being your life? Can you imagine dealing with the circumstances that Naomi had to navigate? Not only did she lose her husband, but she lost her two children, her two sons. She's faced with grief over and over and over again. And now I can imagine some of you can relate to that because maybe your circumstances are a little bit different, but you've had to deal and navigate really painful circumstances in your life. But to make matters worse for Naomi and for Ruth and for Orpah is they are women. And in this culture, women had absolutely no rights. And so not only do they have to grieve the loss of their husbands and their children, they have to, as women, try to figure out how in the world are they going to make it in life. Because a woman needed a man to provide for them, to advocate for them in this culture. And there is nothing worse in this culture than being a widow. A widow was often taken advantage of, overlooked and ignored in society, and they were almost always poverty stricken. And so the grief and the sorrow for these women was enough to bear, but that was the secondary need. They had to figure out together how in the world were they gonna make it to tomorrow and the next day? How were they gonna provide for themselves? And so Naomi, the matriarch of the family, comes up with a suggestion for her two daughter-in-law. She says, then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back each of you to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as if you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye and they wept out loud. And so Naomi does something very honorable. She looks at her two younger daughter-in-laws and really she just admits, like, you guys have the hope of a future. You're young, and so go to your home, which was Moab. Remember, Ruth and Orpah are Moabites. Naomi is an Israelite, and so their culture, their gods are completely different. And so she says, hey, go find another husband who can provide for you, who can care for you. Because at this point, Naomi is older. She's kind of given up on her life. It's been horrible at this place, and so she's just like, guys, forget about me. Go find your future. Go home. And this was really an honorable thing that Naomi does. And so here we have a divide in the two daughter-in-laws. Orpah chooses to listen to her mother-in-law's ideas, and she goes back to Moab to her mother's home. But Ruth chooses a different path. In fact, Ruth responds to Naomi. It says, but Ruth replied, Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" And so as Naomi urges her two daughter-in-laws to leave, go back to their home, Ruth says, "No, I'm not leaving you. You need somebody, Naomi. You are hurting. You are trying to navigate life through these painful circumstances, and I'm gonna stick by your side." You know what I found to be true about hurting people? When people are hurting, they often say exactly what Naomi says. "Leave me alone. I don't need anybody. Just go live your life and forget about me. I don't wanna be baggage to you." And oftentimes when they say, "Leave me alone," we should translate that as, "I need you, come close." And that's exactly what Ruth does for her mother-in-law. She chooses to be a friend to her. Can you imagine how encouraging this was to Naomi? To know that she wasn't gonna have to live life alone, figuring it out all by herself. Ruth chooses to be a friend. In fact, that's exactly what her name means. Ruth means friendship. And we have to understand the gravity of what Ruth is choosing. Ruth is literally putting her life on hold for the sake of her mother-in-law, Naomi. She is putting the future of the hope of a marriage and provision. She is choosing an unstable life of poverty to be a friend and take care of her mother-in-law. And honestly, that's kind of the picture the Bible teaches us about the ultimate price of friendship. John chapter 15 says it like this: "Greater love has no one than this, but to lay down one's life for one's friends." And when I read that verse about friendship, I always think of like the ultimate price of like jumping in front of a bullet for your friend. But realistically, this is exactly what Ruth does for her mother-in-law. She lays her life down. Her future, the hope of her dreams, to take care of a hurting woman. And it just causes us to like look at our lives and look at our relationships and ask this question: what type of friend am I and are you? When we think of friendship, our definition of friendship has become so fragile today, because most of us, friendship is really acquaintance. Right? When things are good, we'll be around, we'll enjoy it with our friends, but when things get really hard and really difficult, that's the moment we bail. What type of friend are you? Ruth was a friend to Naomi. She encouraged her in her worst of seasons. And this wasn't easy for Ruth to choose. This is incredibly hard. We know how hard it is to be around hurting people. There's an expression, right? Hurt people hurt people. And so who wants to be around someone who's hurting? None of us do. It's a hard choice that Ruth made for her mother-in-law. And we know how bad Naomi had hurt. Because what's interesting is when they go back to Bethlehem, back to Israel, the whole town is stirred, because when Naomi comes where people could see her, they were like, "There's no way that can be Naomi." Because the grief and the sorrow that she had to endure changed the way people saw her. Her physical appearance changed because of the hardship that she had to endure, so much that when people saw her come home, they're like, is that Naomi? And we hear the pain that she's endured from her own words. Look what she says. She says, "Don't call me Naomi." She told them, "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." When you read those words, you can feel the pain and the sorrow that this woman has had to walk through. In a culture where names meant so much, she looks at her friends and her family and says, don't call me Naomi, which means sweet. Call me Mara, which means bitter. And what a perfect picture of where her life has been. She started as sweetness. Life was good. And then through the Lord's circumstances, she's become bitter. I mean, can you imagine looking at your friends and being like, hey, don't call me happy, call me bitter. Like, oh, look, there goes bitterness. Great to see you, bitterness. Like, come on, that's how bad it was. And honestly, who can blame Naomi for feeling that way? We would all probably be saying the same things if we walked through her shoes. Like, hey, God, why me? God, why are you picking on me? Like, haven't I suffered enough, God? Like, why would you choose to take my husband and my two children? Like, what did I do wrong, God? And yet, in the midst of her frustration and her pain, I think Naomi teaches us what we should do when we are hurt. Because what I see in Naomi is the truth is that God is not afraid of your hurt and he wants you to express it to him. You could easily read this and be like, wow, Naomi has like gone off the deep end. I don't think that's true. I don't think she's doing anything wrong. I actually think she's doing what God desires from us when we are hurt. When we don't like God's path for our life, is just to simply go to God and be real with him. Like, God, this stinks. I don't like this path. Why are you doing this to me? Because sometimes in Christianity, we feel like we always have to put a smile on and be like, no, God is good and God is good all the time. That's true. But it doesn't mean you have to fake it until you make it. I think God desires from you in the hardest moments of your life to just be real with him. God, I don't like this. This is horrible. Why would you choose this for me? Because God is not afraid of your hurt, and he desires you to express it to him. And so here in chapter one, this bleak start to this story, where Ruth and Naomi are gonna have to try to figure out how they're gonna make it in life, I think it penetrates thousands of years later to our lives today. Because when we think about our relationships, our friendships, in most relationships that we have, you are either going to be a Naomi or you're going to be a Ruth. And what I mean by that is you are either going to be navigating difficult and hard circumstances or you're going to be a friend who's trying to help someone else navigate painful and hard circumstances. Now, Ruth is actually doing both. Ruth just lost her husband and she's big enough, strong enough to handle her hurt and walk with someone who is hurting. But I wanna talk about in our lives today, how we can talk about both sides of that coin, when we are hurting or when we are helping. And so maybe you're here today and I would call you a Ruth, where you are trying to help a friend, a loved one, navigate difficult and painful circumstances. How do we do that well? How do we do that in a godly way? Well, I think Ruth is a great example of that. And what Ruth shows us in those relationships is that our commitment is critical to the hurting person. Do you know when someone is hurting, the reason why they say, leave me alone, is because they don't want to become baggage in your life. They don't want to annoy you. And so what do? They push you away. And Ruth teaches us that in friendship, we need to be committed to people, especially when they are hurting. In fact, this is what the Bible teaches us about friendship. In Proverbs, it says, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for a time of adversity. Now, before we like pan through that scripture, like think about what it's saying. If I'm going to be a true friend, I love at all times. That means I'm gonna love in the good seasons, in the beautiful seasons, in the celebration seasons, but that also means when it hurts and it's hard and it's difficult and that person is driving me crazy, I still love them. It says a brother is born, is created, not for a season of goodness, but a season of adversity. You see, you know what type of friend you truly are when hardship comes. And let me ask you the question again, what kind of friend are you? Are you the type of friend that is so good at when things are going well, but when things get hard, let me ask you the question a little bit differently. When things get hard, how would your friend describe the type of friend you are? Because Ruth shows us what commitment really looks like. Ruth shows us how critical it was for Naomi. Let me show you. Look what Ruth says to Naomi when she's pushing her away. She says, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I'll be there. Where you stay, I'm gonna stay. In fact, I'm gonna take it to another level. Your people are now my people. Your God is now my God. Where you die, guess what? That's where I'll die. We're gonna be buried next to each other. And if I fail to keep this commitment, may God punish me." You're talking about a type of commitment and friendship? Here it is. In fact, look how it changes Naomi. The very next verse, after Ruth says this to Naomi, it says, when Naomi realized, when she saw in Ruth's eyes she wasn't going away, she stopped urging her to leave. And if you're trying to help someone who is hurting, I can promise you at some point they're going to try and push you away. They're gonna tell you, "I don't need you anymore. I'm good, leave me alone." And we need to learn that your love may not always be welcomed, but it is always needed. And so as good, committed friends, we have to learn to push through them urging us to leave and love them and be committed to them despite our love not being welcomed. Because most hurting people push away the very thing they need most: your presence and your love. So Ruth teaches us that commitment is critical. But maybe you're here today and you're not a Ruth, you're a Naomi. And you're a Naomi because you are trying to navigate really painful, hard circumstances in your life right now, or you will be. And what I love about the Bible is we get to read it from a different perspective. We get to read the story because it's already over. And so what we know that Naomi didn't know is that in Naomi's hard circumstances, the truth is this is only chapter one in her story. That redemption for Naomi and Ruth is right around the corner, even though they can't see it. And can I tell you today, if you're hurting, if you're not dead, God is not done. Can I tell you today that if you're hurting, redemption might just be around the corner? We sing a song called "The Father's House," and there's a lyric in that line that I just love. It reminds us of the truth despite painful circumstances. It says, "The story isn't over if the story isn't good." And I know that feels like prosperity, but it's truth when you cling to Jesus. As a Christ follower, here's the truth. Our God specializes in taking your broken, painful circumstances and redeeming them for His glory and your good. And so let me speak over your pain today. I believe, according to Scripture, that God can and will redeem it in your life. Now, don't hear me wrong. I don't always think the redemption you think that's gonna happen is gonna happen. We trust God with the redemption that needs to take place. In fact, this is what the Bible teaches us. As mature Christians, we have to get to the place, no matter what we face, that we know. Paul says this, he says, we know, we are confident, we trust, we bank that in all things, in every circumstance, God Almighty works it for my good and your good because we love Him. So if you're facing pain today, you need to know God specializes in redeeming that broken place in your life, that pain in your life. And Naomi and Ruth will experience this because it's only chapter one of their story. But let me give you some advice. If you're hurting today, this is the best advice I can give you. You need a Ruth in your corner. Here's what I know about pain. The enemy, when you are navigating pain and hardship in your life, the enemy wants to do one thing. He wants to isolate you. He wants to make you push everybody in your life far away so he can whisper in your ear, "God doesn't care. Look, everybody left. Nobody cares about you." And he isolates you so you start believing his lies. And I would challenge you that in your life, you need a Ruth in your corner. You need a friend that tells you the truth even when you begin to doubt it. A friend that will be present with you through the hurt and the pain, that will pray over you, pray God's peace for you. Because here's what true friendship looks like. A friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for a time of adversity. This might create a tension for you. Because some of you are hurting right now, and just hearing that makes you frustrated because you're like, true, I'm hurting right now, and I don't have a Ruth in my corner. I feel completely alone. Well, even if you feel that way, here's the good news. We serve a God who promises that even if you feel alone, you are never alone, because he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will walk with you through every hardship and every trial that you face. And what I love about this church, what I love about Northridge, is we say each and every week, welcome home and welcome to the family. And we don't claim to be a family, we are a family. What that means is when you hurt, we hurt. When you struggle, we struggle. That's why we push people outside of the rows on Sunday and into groups where we can build relationships and care for one another, love one another. And another way that we do that is through prayer. In fact, right now, I would like to invite at all our locations, our prayer teams to come to the front of our stage. If you're watching online, our hosts are going to be ready. So if you're part of our prayer team, you can come forward to the front of our stage. Here's how we are a family. That when you are hurting, we want to carry that burden with you and for you. And the way we do that is through prayer. Can I tell you today, it's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay there. We won't allow you to stay there. And so let us carry that burden with you. Let us be the Ruth in your corner. And so at all our locations, I'd invite everybody to stand with me. We're gonna sing a song that reminds us that our God restores broken things, that he is a way maker, a promise keeper, that he hasn't left you alone. And during this song, at any moment, would you just come and let us pray for you? If you're struggling, you're hurting, you're dealing with hardship, come and let us pray for you. Listen, you don't have to worry about what people think. You don't have to be embarrassed. We gotta get over that stuff and just come and allow us to pray for you. And so our bands are going to sing. This is your opportunity for us to carry that burden.